morning. Today's daf is daf Samech Tes in Vodazara. And let's start again from Samech Chesamad Beis. And let's start with the new sugya. We started this yesterday. We're going to start from the beginning of the sugya today. Ha'achbar d'nafal l'chavisa d'shechor. It's in the middle of the Amud. First word in the Amud is Omer Ein Mitzarfin, and then it starts right there. Rats and beers. The first half of today's daf is going to be all about rat and beer. Ha'achbar d'nafal l'chavisa d'shechor. Rat fell into beer. Asr Rav Lahu Shichron, Rav says it's Asr. Now remember what we learned yesterday. No Sein Tam of Gam. On the issue of No Sein Tam of Gam, we learned yesterday it's machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, whether or not No Sein Tam of Gam is Mutter or No Sein Tam of Gam is Asr. No Sein Tam of Gam means that whatever I'm adding, even though it's Asr, if it's not contributing a pleasant taste, but it's detrimental to the food, so therefore it is not prohibited to drink. The Tarov is the mixture. So we learned yesterday, if you put vinegar on split peas, hot vinegar on split peas, whatever. If you put the two of them together, it's not a pleasant combination. It's pretty bad. And even though the vinegar may be ulcer, but the combination is going to, the taste is negligible, and therefore it's going to be permissible to eat. That's what we learned yesterday. We do follow the halacha like Rabbi Shimon. No Sein Tam of Gam is in fact mutter. Okay. So now on this case over here in the Gemara where the rat falls into beer, rat's disgusting. Right? Nobody wants to eat rat. And so therefore, you would surmise that the halacha should be that the rat fell into beer, so the beer should be fine because it doesn't add a contributing, a pleasant flavoring to the beer. In fact, it's pretty stinky. I went over yesterday with the Tosus. Tosus points out, where's the blia? How does the taste from the rat infuse into the beer? So Tosus says yesterday that it was there for over 24 hours. That's called kavush. When something soaks in a liquid for 24 hours, we assume that the taste comes out and blends with whatever it's being marinated in. Good. So far, so good. So the confusion here comes out with Rav. Because Rav says it's no good. Rav says the beer, you're not allowed to drink the beer. So the Gemara continues the discussion. Amar Rabban Kamed Rav Sheshes Nema Kesavah Nosin Tam of Gam Asur. So the Gemara says, what's going on with Rav? Is his position that Nosin Tam of Gam is Asur? Is that what the issue is? Amaluhu Rav Sheshes Ba'amasavah Rav Nosin Tam of Gam Mutter. So the Gemara says, no, that's not it. Generally speaking, Rav holds no Sein Tam of Gam is mutter. V'hacha chidushu damim as ma'is v'medilim inish minei. V'afilu hachi asra rachmana. Hilchach no Sein Tam of Gam, nami asr. Rav Sheshes offers a tremendous chidush in Rav. And Rav Sheshes says like this. Rats are special. Rats are unique. Rats are a chidush. Rashi explains it like this. Who would eat a rat? Nobody. Right? Nobody. And yet the Torah goes out of its way to say that you're not allowed to eat any sherets. Any creepy, crawly thing that goes on the ground, you're not allowed to eat. Including the shrutzim or rats. And the Torah goes out of its way to say, oh, don't eat a rat. Well, what's the Torah telling me? I wouldn't have not eaten it anyway. Nobody has the yetzer hara to eat a rat. Rats are disgusting animals.
A rat is one of the shmoneh shrutzim?
No. Shmoneh shrutzim, just to clarify that point. Shmoneh shrutzim is just for tumah. Meaning that the Torah prohibits all shrutzim. With exception, meaning certain shrutzim are okay, grasshoppers and the like, but all other shrutzim, all other animals that literally go on the ground, right? They're all forbidden. So sherets over here, the rat, it's usher. It's a davar usher. But Rav Sheshes is suggesting now it's a tremendous chiddush that really rats nobody would have eaten anyway, and the Torah goes out of its way to usher it. Oh, I know what the pshat is. The pshat is that even though it gives off a bad taste, it's still going to be asr. Okay, so that's what Rav Sheshes says in defense of Rav. Amalei Rabban Rav Sheshes Ela Miata L'Tam Elach V'Yavish. So the Gemara says, really, if you're telling me that rats is such a chiddush, so then rats should give off tumah, whether it's moist or whether it's dry. What the Gemara now is trying to argue is the following. Rats are unique. Rats are, don't follow the normal rules. Well, if they don't follow the normal rules, so not only should they not follow the normal rules in kashrus, they also shouldn't follow the normal rules in terms of Tumah Tahara. And meanwhile, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Nida. Alamatanan, the Mishnah tells us, Metamim Lachim Me'e Metamim Yaveshim. Mm-hmm. That when it comes to a rat, now Phil's right, rat happens to be one of the Shemona Shratzim, which means that the rat gives off Tumah after it's dead. But even when it's dead, it has to still be moist. Right? I know this is not appetizing, but still. The rat only gives off Tumah when it's moist. If you have a dried carcass rat, it no longer gives off Tumah. That's the Mishnah in Nida. Mishnah in Nida talks about a number of different Ava Tumas, and one of them happens to be the rodent. So, the Gemara says, if you're telling me it's a Chiddush, so there should be no distinguishing between moist versus dry. Rat should always give off Tumah. The way Rashi explains it, it's like, no one's going to touch the rat anyway. It's disgusting. It's a disgusting creature. And meanwhile, the Torah says, if you touch it, you become tamei. So since anyway, it's such a disgusting creature, and since anyway, no one would touch it, so what difference does it make whether it's moist or whether it's dry? Bottom line is, no one would touch it. Okay. So the Gemara says, look, that's not it. That cannot be the pshat. Because let's discuss the following scenario. Let's talk about shechvat zera. No one's going to want to touch it. It's an avatuma. Shechvat zera, the semen that comes out of a man. It's an avatuma. It's disgusting. No one's going to want to touch it. And meanwhile, the Mishnah makes the same qualification when it comes to shechvat zera. It has nothing to do with appetizing, not appetizing, people touch it, people not going to want to touch it. It has nothing to do with that. The halacha of tuma, it has a contingency which has nothing to do with its pleasantness. Shechvat zera, the reason why it only gives off tumah if it is moist is because the Torah qualifies as shechvat zera. The very definition of shechvat zera means something that could impregnate a woman. Dry shechvat zera no longer has potency and therefore is not subject to tumah. And the same thing is true regarding the rodent. Its tumah has nothing to do with people going to touch it, people not going to touch it. It has to do with the definition. The definition of a dead animal is bimosam, meaning right after the animal dies, it's still moist, it's still, right, it's still juicy. Again, I know it's not appetizing, but it's still, so that means that it only gives off tumah when it's in that state. Once it's a dry piece of carcass, it's nothing. It doesn't define as a dead sheretz. Maskev la rishimim min aradam mi mazva hala ola shochan shamalachim. The Gemara says, wait a second. Rats, go over to the kings. The kings out in the Far East, and they serve rats.
They do.
Phil, confirmation?
Absolutely.
They serve it. They serve rats. So Amrav Sheshes Menardalo Kasha Habidabra Habidamasa. So the Gemara says there's different types of rats. There is the desert rat and the city rat. And as you can well imagine, it's the city rat that's disgusting.
Rashi says it's an ikulei, it's a squirrel.
It's a squirrel, right?
Right.
Nice. So that's a delicacy.
I don't know.
I mean, I looked at the Shulchan Aruch. I'm telling you that the city rat is the disgusting rat, and that's the one that no one would like. Okay, so here we are right now. Okay, so the rat falls into the beer, and Rav says it's aser, and we're kind of stuck because we don't know why. Meaning, we know the halacha is nosin tam of gam is mutter. The rat certainly doesn't give off a pleasant flavor into the beer, and Rav says it's aser. Rav Sheshes tries to make a suggestion. Well, maybe the rats are special and unique and different. And even though they don't give a pleasant flavoring, but still, it's a disgusting animal. And still, the Torah says it's aser. But the Gemara doesn't seem to favor Rav Sheshes' defense of Rav. Amar Rava, Hilchas Anos in Tam of Gam Mutter. So Rava starts off his statement by, look, here's the halacha. Nosin tam of gam is motor. If it gives off an unpleasant flavor, a detrimental flavor, it's fine. It's okay. It's totally acceptable. Now, achbar b'shichur lo yidan my time at the rav. Now, when the rat falls into the beer, so I'm still scratching my head. I don't know why Rav says it's aser. So one possibility is that Rav holds us in the Talmud of Gam as aser, which, if that would be the case, that would be great, because we could just simply dismiss Rav. Meaning, not that we would out of hand, but we know the halach is no sitam of Gam as mutter. So if Rav's psak is based on him holding no sitam of Gam as aser, so that would be fine. We would just simply say, look, that's his opinion. We don't follow that law halacha. Im mishum de kasavar no sitam of Gam mutter, v'achbar b'shechar shbu mishabech. Or does Rav believe that rat in beer is actually beneficial, not detrimental? And so, in other words, and if that would be the case, so then we have a problem. Because then we would have to say that when a rat falls into beer, normally Nosen Tam of Gam is mutter. But when the rat falls into beer, maybe it enhances the flavor of the beer. Now, I'm bothered by this question, and I'm happy to tell you Tosfos is bothered by the same question. What is subject to a debate over here? If the rat is good for the beer, rat bad for the beer? Have somebody taste it. Just to find out. Now, what do you tell me? You tell me that, well, you can't taste it because if it's beneficial, if it does add a good flavoring to the beer, so then you'll be eating iser. Fine. So we know the halacha is that under certain circumstances, you can give it to a non-Jew to taste and ask him, is the beer better? Right? And that'll work.
He's going to say yeah. He's going to say no.
Right. So there are nemanus issues. Right. Under certain circumstances, though, you can ask him to taste it. Okay? The halacha is under certain circumstances. So, the Im Tamar. So, look in. It's really the bottom Tosfos on the previous page. But the question that when Tosfos asks this question is about 10 lines down from the top. The Im Tamar. It's in the... Just take it from the top of Tosfos. So Tosfos says, just have a non-Jew taste the beer and say to him, you know, it's infused with rat flavoring. You got to dress it up. I don't know if he's going to want to taste it, but ask him, why is the Gemara questioning, does it improve or does it not improve? Ask him. So Tosfos makes the following suggestion. Look, it could very well be that in terms of flavoring, I don't know, it's hard to say. Better or worse, hard to say. It strengthens the beer. It adds to the fermentation process. Okay? And so Tosfos says, look, what is subject to debate over here is, did the rat contribute to the fermentation process?
But it's still moist in the water, and it's still a sherret. So how do you reconcile the moist and the sherets to this flavoring thing?
Well, because moist has nothing to do with moist is a tuma issue.
Okay.
This is a kashrus issue. You're not allowed to eat a rat. The rat's in the beer, and the rat now has infused its taste into the beer. So the issue over here is, am I allowed to drink the beer? So on the front of no Saint Tom of Gam, we know no Saint Tom of Gam is mutter. So if we can 100% say that it does not add a contributing flavor to the beer would be fine, even though it's infused with rat juice. Wonderful rat juice and rat flavoring. If we could say definitively it's not contributing, it's not benefiting, it's not adding, so then you're allowed to drink the beer. What the Gemara is debating is maybe in the case of rat and beer, it actually is contributing. And the way Tosfos explains it is that its contribution comes in the form of fermentation. Okay.
It has to be one, not the time. It has to be either better or worse, but not the same.
Right. That's a discussion. I saw that discussion in some of the notes, whether or not it's neutral, right? It's who discussed it? Rabbi Kornfeld discussed it. Rabbi Kornfeld for sure discussed it. Now I'm just going through my.
Because it has to be nice and tan of gum. If it's neutral, it should be
right.
Also.
Okay, Rabbi Kornfeld discussed it for sure. Mm-hmm. Either today's daf or yesterday's daf, but I saw that discussion. Okay. Top ibaylahu. Top now samach tesamad aleph. Okay, the Gemara now asks the following question. Now for Golchala. My. What if the rat falls into vinegar? So we've been discussing now rat falling into beer. Now what about vinegar? Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi Avavda Be Rav Kahana Vaster. Rav Kahana. So it happened. And came out of the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, the psak, you can't drink it. Don't drink the vinegar, the rat falls in, and the rat, you know, infused its wonderful taste into the vinegar. Amalei Ha'u. So now again, it's a little frustrating because we know the halach is no sin tam lafgam is mutter. And meanwhile, when the rat falls into beer, it may be asr. When the rat falls into vinegar, Rav Kahana says it's asr. So why? What's going on over here? We know the halach is no sin tam lafgam is mutter. So on this, the Gemara says, Amalei Ha'u imritute imratate. Rashi explains what that means is like this. The rat fell apart. Vinegar is very strong. Right? It's very acidic. And the rat goes into the vinegar and the rat falls apart. And now you have pieces of rat floating in. Now, yeah, correct. Correct. Vinegar must have been really at a premium back then if they're even entertaining the question of drinking the vinegar. Okay, but still, the pieces of rat. Now look, on the discussion of Nosein Tam Lafgam, the taste that comes off the rat is for sure acceptable. It's mutter, because it doesn't add a contributing flavor. It adds a detrimental flavor, right? Mm-hmm. The rat itself will always be usser. So if there are pieces of rat floating in the vinegar, and you end up ingesting, consuming actual pieces of rat, there, no Saint Tom of Gam is not going to help you. Mm-hmm. The taste is acceptable, the taste is permissible, but not the rat itself. So Rav Kahana says, in the case of Rav Kahana, he says that the mixture of rat and vinegar is also not because of the taste, but because of the actual pieces of rat that are floating in there. Now the Shulchan Aruch writes, you can't be mevato the actual pieces.
You can't be. Why isn't it?
Because it's a forbidden.
If a piece of meat falls into the milk, you have to take the meat out. The piece of meat you have to take out. The taste that comes out, you could be mevato.
You could take out a piece, basically.
That was going to bring me to my next point. Shulchan Aruch writes, it's fine. Shulchan Aruch writes that if you could filter and you could actually take out the pieces of the rat, so then it would be fine. Right? Somehow, the Shulchan Aruch addresses our case in the Gemara, and he says somehow it must be that in our case it's unfilterable. Okay.
So they didn't know then that the bacteria and all, they didn't get into all those type of.
We're talking now about visible visible pieces of Isser.
Well, it could be a clean rat, like a squirrel thing.
Okay, could be. Yeah, right. Ravina Savo Shura Bemei Avachad. So now, assuming that it does give off a flavoring, okay, how much do you need in order to negate the taste? So Ravina says 100 to 1. Now, again, we all know the correct answer, right? Now, I shouldn't say correct answer, but the accepted answer, right? We all know it's 60 to 1. Ravina starts off by saying he thinks that it should be a 100 to 1 ratio. Amru lo gara mitruma. Did not truma ola be'echad omea. Really, it's no different than truma. Truma is 100 to 1. In other words, if you have one part truma to 100 part chulin, then there's going to be bittul. So Ravina says, should be the same thing over here. Okay. I'll say this quickly, but it's difficult to understand. Tosus makes this point as well. And Tosus attempts to answer this. But just let me raise the issue, let me raise the problem, and we'll move on. The comparison over here between our scenario and truma is very difficult to understand for the following reason. The truma ratio of 100 to 1 is talking about yavish b'yavish. Meaning that if I have one apple which is truma mixed in with 100 other apples which are chulin, now if it weren't truma, let's say instead of truma it's just iser, how many other apples do I need in order to create bittul? Two.
Two.
In the world of yavish, right, all you need is rov. Two kosher apples and one non-kosher apple, if there's such a thing, right? It's not, okay, whatever. Let's just assume.
The meat
is a better example. But I know, but I want to talk about truma, though. That's why. Okay, fine. So in other words, 2 to 1. In the world of truma, truma is kadosh, truma has sanctity. So in order to be mevatel truma, so a new proportion came out, which is 100 to 1. It has nothing to do with taste. It has to do with the fact that Truma has Kedusha, and therefore the rabbis enforced that a 2 to 1 ratio is no good, 100 to 1. Fine. But if taste were the issue, all you need to do is negate the taste. So using the 100 to 1 model in terms of saying, well, Truma is 100 to 1, so here also it should be 100 to 1, it's just difficult to understand because that's not a taste issue.
It doesn't go away. Like,
right, that's not a taste issue. That's just a stringency regarding Truma. Okay, just I'm throwing it out there. It's not the... Okay.
Well, maybe it's 100 to 1 because the taste may be really strong.
You yeah, but
any more than a 60.
Okay, whatever. Oh, whatever. Okay. Let's discuss it after. Just, it's... Maybe it's a flavoring of truma. We know that if you have truma which is made for flavoring, meaning truma oregano, right? And the whole point of oregano is to flavor. So we know that if something is avidla tamayu, if something is made for flavoring, it's never subject to bitul because you always taste it. So Ravachai shir b'chala b'chamishin. Rav Achai gave a shear in vinegar of 50. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Ika shear b'shichra b'shisin. Beer 60. Ve'elchasa idi v'idi b'shisin. The halacha is 60. V'chein kol yisurim shebetorah. Every yisur in the Torah comes out to 60. 60 to 1 in order to negate the taste. Two things over here that we'll talk about briefly and then we're going to move on.
My truma is not, other than taste, truma is 100 to 1.
Truma is 100 to 1. Truma, the shear for Truma is 100 to 1. But to negate taste, 60 to 1. Okay, two things we're going to discuss now. Number one, Shita's Rashi. The Gemara just told us that if you're negating taste, the ratio is 60 to 1. Good, that's the halacha. Rashi says that's true by min v'she'eino mina. That's only if the Isser and that which it fell into are dissimilar in taste, like rat in a beer. Rat and beer don't taste the same. So if I have rat falling into beer, if the ratio between the beer and the rat is 60 to 1, you're good. But if they're similar in taste, if there's min bimino, Rashi says, you know what the ratio is? Never. Never subject to bittul. So if I have one drop of forbidden vinegar falling into a vat of vinegar that's permissible, Rashi says bittul will never occur. It will always be usur. That is Shitas Rashi. His grandson, Rabbi Natam, vehemently disagrees with his grandfather, as he does often, right? The halachi here follows like Rabbi Natam. The halachi is that whether it's min b'she'eino min or min b'mino, we're mishaer b'shishim. The ratio in order to create a permissible tarovis is going to be 60 to 1. Right? Sfardim Ashkenazim, we all follow Rabbi Natan. Okay?
So what happened to the idea that if it's going to make it worse, it should be more...
And, well, that's a different issue. In other words, and on the front of No Saint Tom Levgam, it's always going to be permissible. And the only question, which the Gemara left off as a question, and the Shulchan Aruch also leaves off as a question, is a rat and beer. Because the Gemara suggested that Rav entertained the idea that a rat is not detrimental to beer, but it's actually beneficial to beer. Okay? That's where the Gemara leaves us off in rat and beer. But if it's a rat and anything else, the Shulchan Aruch writes, and as the Gemara said, it's pretty much over here as well. If it's a rat that falls into vinegar, if it's a rat that falls into wine, if it's a rat that falls into anything else, the mixture is going to be fine. Unless the Gemara says, like the Gemara says, unless there are pieces of the rat floating around, which anyway, it's disgusting, but aside from that, unless you have that, the mixture is going to be fine. It's not in time of God.
You don't have to have that issue if something else falls in, and which is detrimental. It doesn't have to be 1 to 60, right? But forget about the rat. I'm talking about if something else falls into the wine or other kosher. As long as it makes it worse,
then it's
ratio 160.
You don't need a ratio anymore. As long as it makes it worse, you don't need a ratio.
Not permitted means not kosher?
Not permitted means not kosher. Meaning you will not be able to eat it. The other issue that I'm going to bring up quickly is the famous bee's legs issue. Tosfos over here asked the following question. Their honey they used to eat in the Gemara was not bee's honey. Their honey was date honey. That was the popular honey back in the time of the Gemara. Along come this popular trend, starting I don't know when, but certainly by the time of the Rishonim, already they were eating honey made by bees. So it is a product of bees. So Tosfos over here wonders, how do we eat that? So now there are a number of issues regarding honey that's produced by bees, but Tosfos over here deals with one specific aspect of the bees' honey, and that is the legs of the bees which end up in the honey. So, and we just learned that when it comes to shrutzim, if there are pieces of the sherets inside the mixture, you're not allowed to drink it, even though it doesn't contribute to the taste. In fact, it's a detriment to the taste, but still, you're not allowed to eat pieces of the sherets. So Tosfos over here says that when you have honey, you'll see floating in the honey little legs of the bee in the honey. And how can we eat the honey? So Tosfos is bothered by this very question. Hahu imritute imrati. Second Tosfos on the page. Yeshlet moach shav hechanu ochlem devash divorim. Vahalo ragle ha-devorim me'uravim bitvash. Ve'af agav dehave pegam mikom akom asher tatzmo di'ifkem mitzah l'chulei ama. Good. So Tosfos articulates the question, how do we eat bees' honey when the legs are floating in the honey? And even though it doesn't add a contributing flavor, but still you can't eat the legs. L'chein yir l'Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam, again, comes along and addresses this question. Tremendous chiddush. Well, we'll start off with what isn't a chiddush, and then we'll go to Rabbeinu Tam, which is a chiddush. What isn't a chiddush is bones of non-kosher animal are permissible. Right?
What?
Bones of non-kosher animals are permissible. Now, we don't eat the bones. But lu yitzu, if I would grind up the bones, crush the bones of non-kosher animals.
Like calcium.
Right. And
calcium pills.
And consume it, so that's fine. That's acceptable.
What about gelatin for horse?
Right. So that's correct. So I don't know the process well enough to comment on it, but yes, I do know that is one of the ways they make gelatin. Right? I think they're using now fish bone. Is that accurate?
They use
a synthetic. I know. It's funny. I was just in Atlanta. One of the new producers of this is what's his name? Holzer from Miami Beach. Okay, all right, let's deal with just with Tosfos.
What is the source that the bone is okay?
It's a Mishnah. It's funny you should ask. It's it's a Mishnah in Yadayim, of course. So it's a Mishnah. This is Yadayim. Mishnah in Yadayim, Atzamas Acham or Tahoros. Right? The bones of a donkey or Tahor. Meaning Tahor over here, meaning you're allowed to eat it. Good.
Do they have a source from
Kumash? No, it's Torah Shabbat Peh, part of the oral tradition. Uh-huh. Okay, good. So now, Tosfos comes up with a Chiddush. Now we get to Rabbeinu Tam's Chiddush. Right, there's a big Chiddush. So he says, Ragle ha-devarim ka-tsamos ha-chamor. So, the legs of the bee are like the bones of a donkey. Okay, now, I understand biologically, anatomically, right, we can differentiate between bones of an animal, of a mammal, and the legs of an insect, but Rabbeinu Tam says it's the same thing. Okay? I'm sure Rabbeinu Tam was, you know, these are observable phenomena. I'm sure Rabbeinu Tam understood that there are basic differences, but halachically, categorically, puts them in the same camp.
In biology, they call it exoskeleton.
Right.
Exoskeleton, the outside
skeleton. Correct. Maybe. Correct. Okay. Right. Agreed. And then Rabbeinu Tam makes that comparison. Good. And Rabbeinu Tam says, so now, the bee's honey, even though you'll see some bee's legs in the honey, he says it's fine. It's not a problem whatsoever. Okay? That's one approach to how to deal with that issue. There are other approaches in terms of how to deal with the issue, but it's just interesting, and I have an opportunity to present Rabbeinu Tam's...
Is that accepted?
The bee's honey is totally permissible. Absolutely permissible. Right. And how to deal with the legs issue, so I give you one approach.
But that's not accepted by
it's absolutely accepted to eat it. In terms of whether or not we accept Rabbeinu Tam's approach, there are other ways to deal with it. I don't have other sources offhand right now, but there are other ways.
We're talking about a bone, we're talking about a dry bone, right? Not one that has marrow in it.
Correct. Correct. Agreed. If it has marrow in it, it's absolutely forbidden. Correct. It has to be just the bone itself. To the exclusion of any juices or meats.
So, but in terms of tumor, if there's a tumor, forget about kashrut, not going tumor.
There's no tumor on the bones as well. Tumor is only off the carcass of the animal, the actual flesh of the animal. The bones itself don't give off tumor. Okay.
Even if they're moist, if they're with it.
If they're, in other words, no, just the skeleton of a nevela does not give off tumor.
Even if they're wet?
I'm saying if they're wet, it means that that juice is coming from the meat, not from the bones.
That's why we can be archaeologists.
Right. Mishnah. Okay, let's move on. Okay, back to Yain Nesach. Yeah. Jew says to a non-Jew, look, I need help schlepping. So do me a favor. See the barrels over there? I need you to move the barrels from point A to point B. Help me move the barrels. Okay, the barrels have wine in them, but the barrels are sealed. So there's no problem if the non-Jew picks up the barrel, moves the barrel. That's fine. It's not an issue. Issue is, if once the barrels are opened up and he puts his hand in the barrel and agitates and does his little Yain Nesach dance, that's the problem. But as it is right now, they're sealed barrels, it's fine. How about if he goes away for a little bit and leaves the non-Jew alone with his barrels? Says the Tanakhama, if they are Becheskas HaMishtamer, if they are under the presumption of being guarded and protected, so the Tanakhama says it's fine. However, if they are not under the assumption, the presumption of being guarded and protected, and that means that he tells his non-Jewish worker, I'm going to go away for a while, watch the shop, mind the store. Actually, no, I spoke a little too early. We're going to get to the store in just a moment. So, if he has enough time, if the non-Jew was given enough time to open up the barrel, reseal the barrel, and let the new seal dry, right? If he has enough time for all that, the barrels are going to be usher. We have to concern ourselves with the fact that he's no longer scared or nervous because he was told by his employer, I'm going away. And now, provided that he has enough time to get into the wine and cover up his footsteps, so then it's going to be usher. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Kedei Shiftach Zechavis V'Yigov V'Tigov. According to Shimon Gamliel, it has to be enough time where he opens the entire seal, puts a new seal on top, and it dry. Meaning, according to Shimon Gamliel, he's not worried that the non-Jew is just going to bore a little hole in the top of the seal and repatch it. We're going to see the patch. He won't do that. He has to be given enough time to take off the entire seal, the entire lid, and then put on a new lid. Case number two in the Mishnah.
It's going to take longer.
Yes, correct. Haminiach yena bekarno besfina v'halachla bekapandria. Nichnas medina v'rachatz umuter. Im odia shumafli kidei shiistom v'yistom v'yigov. Hashem Gamliel amar kidei shiiftach ez chavetz v'yigov v'tigov. In case number two, essentially the same case, except he sends the non-Jew on a wagon or on a ship. And he himself goes kapandria. He takes his own little shortcut. Okay. Right? We know the word kapandria, by the way, because the Gemara Megillah tells us that you're not allowed to make a shul into a kapandria.
Right.
You cannot make a shul into a shortcut. Case number three, and again, in case number two, same thing. Machlok is between the Tanakhama and Shimon Gamliel. Case number three in the Mishnah, Haminiach obikochavim bechanus. You just leave him alone in the store. You're not asking him to schlep with you. You just... he's helping you out in the store, and you leave him alone in the store. Afa pishi yatzav nechnas motavi imodiyah shumaflig kidei shiistam yistam v'yigov. Rishem Gamliel Amir kidei shiiftach ezachavis v'yigov v'tigov. Again, same machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rishem Gamliel. It's just that in this third scenario, we're in the store. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, why give me three cases over here, which essentially are the same point? Okay. Haya ochel imo ala shulchan. V'hiniach l'ginim ala shulchan l'lagen al ha dulbeki v'hinichu v'yatsa. If he is enjoying a meal with a non-Jew and he leaves flasks of wine in the cupboard and flasks of wine on the table, Masha ala shochan asr shal aduvaki mutter. So that which is on the table is asr, because the non-Jew can just easily lean over and do his little yai nesach. The im amar lo have mozik v'shose, if the Jew upon leaving invites the non-Jew, you know what? And help yourself. Afsha ala duvaki asr. Even the one in the cupboard is going to be asr, because with the invitation he has zero inhibition and he'll go and help himself to whatever wine is available. Chavias psuchas asuras asumas mataras kidei shiftach v'yigov v'tigov. If he leaves a non-Jew in his house with an open invitation, help yourself. So now, all open barrels are going to be prohibited, and the closed barrels, if given enough time, and the parameter for enough time is to open the entire lid of the barrel, reseal the entire lid, and allow that new seal to dry. Okay? And it is interesting, and the Gemara is going to pick up on the fact that over here, in this last case of the Mishnah, it assumes the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Good. What does that mean when the Mishnah says if you leave it in a presumed state of being protected? So the Gemara says, says the Tosefta that if you're working with a non-Jew and you are working with taharos, things that are tahor, and in while working, you go far away, a mil away, it's about a kilometer away, and it doesn't matter. As long as he does not know where you are, and you can show your face at any given point in time, you can assume all your taharos are tahor. The imam alaham l'chuvani b'acharechem. If, however, he says to them, guys, go, I'll catch up to you. But in other words, he tells them, you have a cushion, you have a safe distance from me. Period. Maishna Resha, Maishna Sefer. The Gemara says the difference is what? Between the first half of the Tosefta and the second half. Tamarav Yitzhak Resha, Bemetar Chamarav, Upoalav Lekach. In the first case of the Mishnah, he actually was Metahir, meaning he said, if you want to work with me today, you got to dunk in the mikvah. You got to be tahor. And he actually was metahir his workers with him. So in this Tosefta, by the way, they're not...
Jews. They're correct.
Right, they're Jews who are Ami Ha'aretz. Ihachi Sefanami. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so in the second half of the Tosefta, if he told all of them in the mikvah, so what's the big deal? Even if he tells them, guys, go ahead, I'll catch up to you. But that's he told them in the mikvah, I feel a ratio. I'm sorry. Ein am haaretz makpid amaga chaver. Look, they may be tahor, but if let's say one of their friends visits them at work and they say, "Hey guys, what's going on?" So they won't say to their friends, "Oh, don't touch. Everything here is tahor." Right? They won't say that. They won't stop their am haaretz friends from touching the
tahor. Are you talking about the am haaretz, like maybe touching your sherets? Isn't why that you an example like? Wouldn't that be like more applicable if they're like
Amharic? Right, it's a fair point. And maybe that's also part of the point the Gemara is making, even though the Gemara does not say that. But it's a very fair point. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you're not, if they're not afraid of having their friends touch the Tahar, the Taros, so what about in the first case in the Tosefta? So the Gemara says, Afilu Reisha Nami, Neima Hachi, Amarava, Vevalahem Derech Aklaton. So the Gemara says, look, because in the Reish, in the first half of the Tosefta, he doesn't tell them he's going away. And he can show his face at any given point in time. And not only that, but there's not only one entrance into the place of work. There could be other entrances as well. So he's got that presence about him, where the employer can come in at any point in time, totally unexpected, and they're under those conditions, they're always going to be in a state of mirsus. They're going to be afraid. And therefore, they themselves were tefillin in the mikvah, and they certainly will not allow their friends to touch the taharas, knowing that their employer can walk in at any point in time. As opposed to the second half of the Tosefta, where he says to them, guys, go ahead, I'll catch up to you. Now, knowing that their employer is not with them at the time, and they have a cushion, so they're not afraid. They don't have that state of mirsus. I'm sorry. Three cases of the Mishnah. Why do we need all three cases of the Mishnah? Look, in the first case, the employee is working with the employer, schlepping. But if he's on a wagon or if he's on a boat, and the employer is not on the wagon or on the boat with him, so he can make a very simple argument. Look, I can just turn off to the side of the road. I can turn the boat over a little bit to the side of the river, and he won't see me. And so what the Mishnah is coming to tell us is that no, that as long as the employer has a bird's eye view of what's going on, it's fine. The itana bekarona b'sfinim mishum d'savar dama asli be'orcha achritz v'kai aguda v'chazili. Even though he's on a boat in the river, but still, his employer can always go on a wall top and see from the wall top and see down in. And in other words, again, that state of mirsus. In the third case, where the employer says to his guy, look, I'm leaving the store, I'll come back shortly, okay? And in that case over there, the concern may be that the non-Jewish employee can just simply lock the door and then do whatever he wants in the store. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that we don't say that, and he's always under the state of mirsus, not knowing when his employee is going to come back. Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Rav Yochanan, Machlokes B'shel Sid, Ava B'shel Tit, Devrahakol K'dei Shiftach V'Yigov V'Yigov. The Gemara says that, Rav Yochanan says that, the debate in our Mishnah is regarding sid, a plaster. But if it's a cement type of lid, so then everyone says that they're going to take off the whole lid. They have to take off the whole lid. Enough time, I should say, to take off the whole lid. Meisve, the Gemara challenges based on a brace. Amar Shimon Gamliel HaChachamim, V'alosi Sumoni, Kar Beim Elamal, Beim Elamata. Right? If you're telling me that he's going to poke a hole and he's going to patch up the hole. Look, you can see it bein melamala bein melamata, both from the top and from the bottom. Meaning, if you look from the lid, both from the top position or from underneath, you could see that somebody tampered.
What do you mean from underneath?
Meaning, when he bores a hole in, so you could, if you open up the whole lid, you can see both from the top and from the bottom that somebody tampered. And the fear of being caught should be enough of a deterrent. Iyamar bishlam bishal tit machlok and hainu diktari sisu monikar beimalamala beimalamata. Ela yamar bishal sid machlokis bishlamalamata yediya lamala halo yediya. If we're talking about a plastered cover, look, a replastering is a smear of plaster. It's a technical term. It's a smear of plaster over the whole surface. So although from the top perspective, you won't be able to see that it was tampered with, but once you open up the lid and you look underneath, you're like, oh boy, somebody bored a hole through. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, hu delo yada mai kamer rabbanan, v'hachi kamer lehu. Look, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel didn't fully understand what the Chachamim were saying. I b'shal tit kamer tzis yisuma nukar bei melamala bei melamata. Look, if we're talking about cement, right, in other words, he bored a hole through and he re-cemented that hole, then you could see both from the top and the bottom. So now if you're talking about plaster, look, I understand he's smearing the whole top with plaster, so he can't see that he tampered with it from the top. But certainly from the bottom you'll know. The Rabbanan and the Chachamim will say in their defense, the Chachamim in their defense say, look, since from the top nobody could see that it was tampered with, a non-Jew will do it. What about the fact that if you open up the lid and you see the bottom, you see it was tampered with? The Ovi Kochavim is not worried about that. Inam nizimnun dechalim, or sometimes the replastering fills up the hole beautifully, and you can't see it both from the top and from the bottom. One last point, and we'll finish with the daf today. Am Rava Halach Yerushim Gamliel Hol Vitnan Stamakavasei. Did not look at the end of the Mishnah. It goes just like Rishon and Gamliel. Hayochal al shochanim al viniach lagin al shochan lagin al adubeki viniach viyatsmasha al shochan asmasha al adubeki muter v'imam alo havi mazug v'shoseh afsha al adubeki aser. This is all just a repeat of what we learned in the Mishnah. Chavias psuchas asuras asumas mutaros kidei sheyiftach v'yigov v'tigov. Perfect. The Mishnah says that if given enough time to open the whole lid of the barrel and to reseal the whole lid of the barrel and have the whole seal dry, if given enough time, so then the wine is going to be aser. But you see from the Mishnah giving that description, that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Pshita, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't need Rava. I would have figured that on my own. Ma'u detemekul Rabbi Shimon Gamliel katani la kamash malan. Good. So the Gemara says that I might have thought that the whole Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but that doesn't necessarily mean the halacha goes like him. That's why I need Rava. Rava is to tell me, no, the halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Good. All right, today we tackled the big topic of rat in the beer, no St. Tom Lefgam. The conclusion of the Gemara is that when the rat falls into the beer, we're not sure. The Gemara leaves off with an uncertainty as to whether or not it's detrimental or beneficial to the beer. The halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that in the case of rat in a beer, because of this doubt, you cannot drink the beer unless there's shishim, unless there's 60 of beer against the rat. If the rat falls into any other type of liquid, it is absolutely detrimental, and you're allowed to drink that liquid. What you're not allowed to do is drink the pieces of the rat. You have to sift out the pieces of the rat. We then talked about the halacha of min bimino. Rashi says that by min bimino it's bimashu. We don't pass him like Rashi. We pass him min bimino as shishim, just like min b'sheno mino. We talked about the bee's legs in the honey. Rabbeinu Tam has a tremendous chiddush that bee's legs is like bones, and that's why the bee's legs in the honey is mutter. And then we talked about mirsus, the Mishnah about leaving the non-Jew alone with your wine. And when is it okay to leave him alone with the wine, and how much time does he need in order to offer the wine?